So the reason that 20 Years of Sound and Vision has two nights, the first night at the Steelyard, is because there is a work of art that is really the celebratory work of art that kind of is the mascot for the whole event, both Friday and Saturday night. It's called The Giving Tree, and it's being made, then modified, as it were, with leaves and so on, at the Steelyard. And so one of the reasons that we're doing it there is just to really focus on this wonderful sculpture that we have been fortunate enough to have specially sort of built and commissioned and, you know, put together by Elena Mahoney of AM Design and Fabrication, who worked on it. And so Elena's here. We're going to talk about the tree.
Okay. Hello.
Hello. So it's a metal tree.
That's right. So when we first spoke to Aaron about this, you know, we went to the Steelyard and we knew that we were doing an iron pour, and we knew that was part of an event, which is, that's a somewhat regular occurrence. People want to see at the Steelyard anyway. They want to see iron casting as part of an event because it's pretty theatrical. You know, people don't normally get to see molten metal being poured. But so when we got there, we said, well, what is the mold that you want? And that's when we learned about the concept of the tree, the giving tree, and the leaves that were going to be cast. The leaves, the concept of the leaves came when we were talking about the concept of the tree at the very beginning. And that's going to be the mold that we'll be casting during the event. What you will see during the event are what we call scratch blocks, which is, it's essentially, it's almost like an oven, like a muffin pan, excuse me, in that the top of it is open and you just pour into it. So you'll be able to see a leaf shape and you'll be able to scratch your name into it or initials or a symbol or something. And that those will then be cast and they'll be hung on the tree. And the idea is that each leaf represents someone who has given or donated to Rhode Island Public Radio. So the tree itself is, it's made of steel. My artwork for a long time surrounded making plant life out of metal. So this was kind of a perfect project for me.
So tell me about working with metal this way. And this is, you know, this is not a tiny little kind of like, put it in on a knick-knack shelf kind of tree. This is a tree. This is big.
Mm-hmm. It's about 10 feet. 10 feet tall, 10 feet wide. I have a background in architectural metalworking. So I do generally, and this is what I do for my business, AM Design as well. I do a lot of, you know, fences, gates, railings, balconies, that sort of thing. So I have a very clear skill set involving how metal should assemble and disassemble. So obviously we can't just pick up a 10-foot tree and move it, especially because, you know, the branches, the trunk is about 5 or 6 inches, and then it goes all the way down to a little quarter-inch rod. So it's kind of delicate in areas. So this sort of has an understructure, which you can't see, of closely fitting pipes that insert into one another so that we can disassemble and move the tree several times.
So here you are working with sculpture, and you're also a painter. Mm-hmm. You're living in Rhode Island, and you know, like people say, well, like if you really want to make it as an artist, you should be in New York.
No.
What? Tell me about that. I mean, so here's the reason I'm asking the question. It's like when you're building a community, like one of the most important things to keep in mind is that you need to have a lot of people doing really great stuff so that it's the quality of life is really high, right? And artists do that. But if artists can't make a living, then they're going to have to move. And so the question is sort of like, well, how do you feel about the future of art here as far as a place for people to live and work and make money?
Well, so I've lived in Rhode Island about 2.5 years now. I moved here specifically for my grand scheme. It was to start this business. I'd been working for someone for several years, and I thought I could make more money doing it on my own. And specifically Rhode Island, because the zoning is as such that there are so many industrial buildings that are available. And you can, you know, with private owners. So you can do things like start a metal shop or do iron casting and speak with the fire department and do it safely and, you know, understand and everyone understands that they're trying to help you out, basically, as an artist. I noticed a very clear difference, not to poop on Massachusetts or anything. When I was living in Boston, there was always a sort of a feeling that artists were kind of getting pushed aside. Like if you wanted to have a studio, they'd say, oh, you're an artist. All right, double the rent. You know, you move here. That's what I felt like. That's what I felt like.
Anyway. Wow.
I move, you know, because they just, it sort of felt like they assumed you were going to either waste their time or not pay them or who knows. When I moved here, I very much got the feeling that we're appreciated. People, you say you're an artist and people assume you're a skilled person, which is, that's a new concept for me. So I feel really good about living here as an artist. I think it's a great place. As far as, you know, making money, that's always going to be a struggle. It will always be a struggle because when you're an artist, you know, you have at least two jobs, essentially. It's at least two full-time jobs. You have to work to make a living, unless you're really, really lucky, you know, and you inherit something. In order to be an artist, you have to put just tons of time into that.
Well, thanks. Thank you, Elena Mahoney, for being here. And thanks for creating the Giving Tree. And we wish you well.
Oh, thank you so much for the wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, thank you too.